Jim Gaffigan has made a career out of making fun of himself, his beautiful Why Did She Marry Me wife, and their five kids, and his obsession with food. Here's part of his Hot Pocket bit.
I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, yeah, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that?
Hot Pockets, biscuits and gravy. As Jim says, the South will never rise again because they won't have the energy. In his new book, Food, A Love Story, Jim Gaffigan pays reverent homage to them as well as bacon and donuts while excoriating fish, farmers markets, Whole Foods. And there are tender moments as well about his dad and his family, so there is more than one love story in Food, A Love Story. And Jim Gaffigan joins us from NPR West with more. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go to the Hot Pockets chapter, shall we?
Surely.
Because you say right there, unless you are filthy rich and only shop at farmers markets, or perhaps you are a Unabomber, you may not know what a Hot Pocket is. But just humor us. What is a Hot Pocket?
Essentially, it's an empanada. Or it's a Jamaican meat pie. There's a pastry filled with some type of meat or vegetable product. In the Hot Pocket example, it's filled with poison. But it's it's essentially a portable, it's the evolution of American eating. You know, it's three steps after the TV dinner. We've gotten to the Hot Pocket. And I got lucky. I did some jokes on it, and it seemed to coincide with Hot Pockets really kind of exploding. You know, there's not a single college student or a teenager that hasn't come across a Hot Pocket.
And you became sort of the Hot Pocket person. You say there was a time when you were on CNN, you were just speaking very seriously about the good work of the Bob Woodruff Foundation. He's the former correspondent who was injured covering war. And then you realized that there was a name under your image?
Yes. I was listed as Jim, quote, Hot Pocket, quote, Gaffigan. And, you know, but there's something about the whole Hot Pocket experience. It's a strange, never-ending kind of relationship I have. I know that I wouldn't have my career if I didn't have these Hot Pocket jokes and if they didn't keep introducing Hot Pockets. You know, it's strange because writing this book, comedians, you know, all artists or creative people, they don't want to be pigeonholed. But I've been writing so much about food or food comedy for 15 years now. And I, on my last special, I just kind of embraced it. That's not to say that it's exclusively what I talk about in my stand-up. But as a friend described, you know, I talk about food the way a morbidly obese person would talk about food.
But you are not morbidly obese. You say perhaps a little overweight. What is this defense of the foods that are almost indefensible?
I think there's something in our culture where we love to demonize things. And so maybe I'm coming to the defense of McDonald's saying, I'm not proposing that we eat it every day, but we shouldn't feel shame if you're in a five-hour car ride with your kid and you go to McDonald's. These are guilty pleasures, similar to reading, you know, Us Weekly or having a $5, you know, Frappuccino. We know it's wrong, but it's not the end of the world if we have guacamole.
Is part of this, too, kind of a class exploration as well? I mean, one whole chapter is on water. It's entitled More Watery Water, which is how you viewed it when bottled water came out. Oh, it's more watery than water.
Yeah.
But you point out that Evian is naive spelled backwards.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's, I think it's all, you know, some of it is as a comedian, you know, I see some of this as just a humorous take on things that are not, you know, not divisive. I mean, I think I've thought long and hard about why I focus so much on food. And some of it is I don't want a quarter of the room of a stand-up room to feel horrible about themselves. But if I go on after seafood or shellfish, even a lobster, you know, a lobsterman's not going to be that offended. He's just going to understand that it's my point of view. So I think food is just a ripe topic where I can have very strong, passionate points of view and not really, no one gets hurt.
Yeah. Well, as you point out, you're from the Midwest. Was it Indiana?
Yes.
Grew up in Indiana. And so to you, fish are like insects. I love when you say, even fish, look like they're always smelling something bad, and they
are.
Yeah,
they're always frowning. And they're like, what's that smell? Oh, it's me. And I, you know, some of it is I wish I liked fish. I wish I liked caviar. Even some sushi, that sea urchin, where they have those orange balls that look like Finding Nemo's mom and his siblings. It's like, how can we eat those? And I'm a meat eater, and I love animals, and I have a lot of respect for vegetarians. But it's really the plants are just slower at running away from us, really.
Is it really true that you recently saw an apple and didn't recognize it? You're so disconnected from fruit?
Well, there is some of it's exaggeration. I do believe that the only appeal of fruit is that it's more appealing than vegetables.
You're right. You thought, what is that, a paperweight? But you go on to defend your theory that nobody wants fruit by pointing to paintings in museums about with
bowls of fruit. Yes, that's why there are so many paintings in museums of just bowls of fruit. Because if you started painting a bowl of fruit, you could leave for a couple hours and come back, and no one would have touched the bowl of fruit. But if you're painting a donut, you better finish it on the first setting, because you can't even do a bathroom break without coming back. And you're like, hey, what happened to my donut? And your friends are, oh, from Fat Guy. You know, that's why there's no paintings of donuts, or a very rare amount.
That's stand-up comic Jim Gaffigan. You're listening to Here and Now. Well, as we said, the title of the book is Food, A Love Story. You truly love your wife and kids, and they must love you to put up with some of this. But also, I mean, you talk about how, and it seemed like a serious section, you know, your dad made steaks, and sometimes the ash from his cigarette falls in them. But God love him, he could not afford steaks when he was growing up in the Depression.
There is something about, and I thought was so interesting about steak, is that my father's view of steak is something that I now have and I now understand. And, you know, I remember him saying, we're going to have steak tonight. Like, it was a big, fancy thing. Like, Abe Lincoln was going to come over for dinner, and I didn't really care. But the thing that I love about steak and about different relationships, and it's why my acknowledgments, I really associate different food with people. You know, my Aunt Katie, who used to buy us pints of ice cream, it's, you know, it's personal to me, but it's also, I think we all kind of have that connection. Mm-hmm. I mentioned in the book that if I died tomorrow, some of my children, I have five young children, would just remember me as the balding guy who used to bring home the expensive green dip of guacamole. So
I somehow doubt that. But what is the one food that if your patient wife and your doctors, you know, said you have got to give this up, and you wouldn't, what would it be?
I think cheese would be pretty hard. And I don't think there's a replacement. You know, we can put a guy on the moon, but we can't develop a non-dairy cheese that doesn't taste like rubber.
Hey, what about tofu?
Tofu is, you know, a lot of people don't know, that's what caused the Cultural Revolution. It, you know, the Chinese don't have cheese, and, you know, it was such a rich cultural heritage, but I think if they had a good cheese, we would not have seen some of what happened with that Cultural Revolution.
Jim Gaffigan, he treats his body like a temple of doom, and his book is Food, A Love Story, A Meditation on Many of His Favorite Foods and His Family. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
By the way, Jeremy, in his book, he also lists the places fans tweet him, like when he comes to town for a stand-up comedy, and they send him to their favorite, this is going to kill you food place. So feel free to do that. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.